This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya wal mursaleen, nabina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa ahlul uqdatan min lisani yafqahu qawli. Last week we started the tafsir of Surah Naba, and we did the tafsir of the surah until about halfway, and inshallah today we're going to be concluding with the tafsir of this surah inshallah ta'ala. And we covered the first half of the surah, and we talked about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins this surah by talking about the Day of Judgment specifically, and those who question the Day of Judgment and question how it's possible that something like this could take place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responds to these people who are, you know, differing. Allah says, أَلَّذِيهُمْ فِيهِ مُخْتَلِفُونَ. They differ about this. They're questioning the Day of Judgment. Allah responds, you know, to this question by him talking about the rest of his creation. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ بِهَادَ. Didn't we make the earth as a resting place and the mountains as pegs? And didn't we create for you spouses? We created you in pairs, and we made you people who have to sleep as a means of rest, and so on and so forth. So Allah mentions all of these other creations, all of these other signs, all of these other miracles to show that an extra day that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will raise us, recreate us just as He created us before. It's not something which is impossible. It's not something which is, you know, difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about the Day of Judgment and some of the signs or some of the things which will happen, the precursor to the Day of Judgment. Allah says, يَوْمَ يُنْفَخُ فِي الصُّورِ فَتَأْتُونَ أَفْوَاجًا. On the day when the horn will be blown, and you will come forth in multitudes, in crowds, in large groups. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. And the heaven will be opened up, and they will become gateways. We mentioned this ayah. We said that Allah says, the heaven is opened. وَفُتِحَتِ السَّمَاءُ فَكَانَتْ أَبْوَابًا. There will be gateways, doors. And we said that this is referring to who or what? Gateway for what? Angels, the angels of Allah. So the angels will come down. The angels will start to descend from the heavens. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about the mountains. وَسُيِّرَتِ الْجِبَالُ فَكَانَتْ سَرَابًا. And the mountains will be removed, and they'll be like a mirage. So the way they'll dissolve, the way they'll be removed, the way they'll be destroyed, it's as if they're melting in front of our eyes. And even in other ayat, Allah mentions how, you know, they'll melt or they'll crumble, they'll become sand. So this is the description given to the creation of Allah on the Day of Judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, after we've mentioned all of these things, the next ayah, Allah Azza wa Jal was talking about the Day of Judgment. And in this next ayah, which we'll be doing the tafsir of today until the end, ayah 21, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ مِرْصَادًا. He talks about Jahannam, He talks about the hellfire. Now why does Allah talk about the hellfire once He's spoken about the Day of Judgment? Because first of all, those who are questioning the Day of Judgment, okay, there will be people who are disbelieving, and if they're disbelieving, they're going to be inhabitants of hellfire. And Allah is talking about hellfire as well because it's one of those things which basically is the reason why the Day of Judgment is taking place. You have on the Day of Judgment paradise and hellfire. So it's one of the two final resting places for the son of Adam. And so Allah Azza wa Jal, because he was talking about the Day of Judgment, now He's talking about hellfire. And He mentions hellfire first because the whole purpose of the surah was people who were differing and they were disagreeing and they were denying the Day of Judgment in the first place. And those people, for them, إِنَّ جَهَنَّمَ كَانَتْ mirsada. Allah says that verily hellfire is something that is lying in wait for them. It's lying in wait, it's prepared for them. It's ready and it's waiting. Other translations say ambush. It's ready to ambush. And we know from other ayat in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the fire of the of hellfire and the descriptions of hellfire. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Humaza, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ هُمَزَةٍ لُمَزَةٍ الَّذِي جَمَعَ مَالًا وَعَدَّدَ يَحْسَبُ أَنَّ مَالَهُ أَخْلَدَ كَلَّا لَيُنْبَذَنَ فِي الْحُطَمَةِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا الْحُطَمَةِ. What to make you think about what al-hutama is, one of the names of hellfire. نَارُ اللَّهِ الْمُوْقَدَةِ, a fire of Allah, okay, which is burning, it's blazing. الَّتِي تَطَّلِعُ عَلَى الْأَفْئِدَةِ, something which will reach into the hearts. So the fire of hell is something which is different to the fire of this world in the sense that it reaches every core of the body. Okay, it's not just something which will touch the skin and burn the skin, but it's something which will affect the whole of the body. It will affect the core of the body, the af'idah, the hearts. التي تطلع على الأفئدة. Also in other ayat in the Quran, Allah talks about how the fire in Surah Qari'ah, Allah says, وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُ, those whose scale is light on the day of judgment, what does Allah say? وَأَمَّا مَنْ خَفَتْ مَوَازِينُ فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ, then his mother is the abode, is a never-ending, endless abyss. And Allah uses the word mother to describe hellfire. Because here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining and trying to, or he successfully talks about how hellfire is something which will be so close to that individual, it's like a mother with her child. So Allah uses a similar description, and he uses the word which means mother. فَأُمُّهُ هَاوِيَةٌ, then his mother, the one who enters into hellfire, his mother is هَاوِيَةٌ, meaning hellfire. Meaning it'll be so close to him, it's like a mother with her child. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, again, he's talking about how hellfire is prepared, it's blazing, it's ready, it's lying in wait. It's already been prepared for those who disbelieve. لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا, for those who transgress, this is their place of return. لِلطَّاغِينَ, those who transgressed, those who disbelieved in Allah, those who never did good deeds. مَآبًا, this is where they will return to. This is what they have prepared themselves for. لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, in it they will remain for a long time, for a long portion of time, for a long period of time. And Ibn Kathir rahimahullah, he talks about this ayah, لَابِثِينَ فِيهَا أَحْقَابًا, and he says that the word ahqab is referring to a long period, a long time. And he says this word is a plural and the singular is huqub. And he mentions how scholars, they discussed what it means exactly, what the word ahqab means. And he said that ahqab doesn't have no specific time other than the general meaning of eternity in the hellfire. And he said that other scholars, they've mentioned that huqub, ahqab from huqub, they said huqub is 70 years. And every day when a person is in hellfire is like how long? كَأَلْفِ سَنَةٍ مِمَّا تَعُدُّونَ, it's like 1,000 years in this dunya that you perceive in this world. So 1,000 years equivalent to one day in the hellfire. And so a huqub, scholars say, is 70 years. Other scholars, they said that it's referring to an era, a generation, you know, a long period of time. A huqab is a long period of time. So ahqab is generation or era after era after era. Generation after generation. Time after time after time. And so it's a continuous, endless time where once an era comes to an end, another era follows. So it's something which is endless. And others, they said that huqab was 80 years and 365 days in a year, but each day equivalent to 1,000 years. But all of these are similar in the sense that it's something which is never ending. It's something which is endless. It's something which is a long period of time, you know, era and generation after generation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says they will remain in there for a long time or for an endless time. لَا يَذُقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْضًا وَلَا شَرَابًا. That in it they won't taste any coolness, they won't feel any coolness, and they won't have anything to drink. إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا. Except for Hamim and Ghassaq. And the scholars, they say, Ibn Kathir also, as well, he mentions this. He says that this ayah, إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا, is the exception to the previous ayah. Allah says, لَا يَذُقُونَ فِيهَا بَرْضًا وَلَا شَرَابًا. That they won't taste anything cool and they won't have anything to drink. And then Allah says, إِلَّا حَمِيمًا وَغَسَّاقًا. Except for Hamim and Ghassaq. So they say Hamim here is the exception to the Bard, meaning they're going to experience this coolness, and they'll experience Ghassaq, which is a type of drink. And Ibn Kathir, he goes into detail and he says that in reference to Hamim, it's the heat that has reached its maximum temperature and point of boiling. So it's the hottest. So this is the exception. So it's not something which gives them relief, it's something which gives them more torment. And Ghassaq ibn Kathir, he says Ghassaq is the only drink which they will have. But again, all of these things aren't relief from hellfire, it's something which is torment upon torment. And Ghassaq is a type of drink, but it's from pus, and it's from sweat, and it's from tears and wounds of the people of hellfire. So it's, you know, something which also Ibn Kathir, he says, it's unbearably cold. So this drink is something which is unbearably cold with an intolerable stench. So Ibn Kathir, he talks about Ghassaq being something that they will drink, but even though it's something they're drinking, it's not something which is a relief for them, it's something which is a punishment. And it's cold, but in the sense that it's uncomfortable. It's not comforting for them. Even though, subhanAllah, they're in heat and they're in a fire, this coldness that they'll experience is something which is unbearable. It's something which is intolerable. You know, when you have something freezing cold, it can burn you. Something is ice cold, it can burn you. So, subhanAllah, here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give them something cold, but it's going to be something which will cause them problems. It's not something which will be a sense of relief and, you know, relaxation for them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, جَزَاءً وِفَاقًا. That it's an appropriate reward. Meaning based on what they used to do, based on the beliefs they used to have, based on the disbelief in Allah and the sins they used to commit, this is an appropriate and deserving reward for what they used to do. It's something which is appropriate based on their sins. إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرُجُونَ حِسَابًا. So why are they receiving this recompense? Why are they receiving this reward, this punishment of hellfire? Allah says, إِنَّهُمْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. That they weren't expecting a hisab. They weren't expecting an account. They weren't expecting the Day of Judgment to take place. لَا يَرْجُونَ حِسَابًا. And as a result of this, because they weren't expecting it, and we mentioned this last week, when someone doesn't have a moral compass, when someone disbelieves in the Day of Judgment, disbelieves in a God, there's no moral compass anymore. So a person will start to say things, he'll start to do things, and he'll start to think things which he never thought of before. And he'll think that certain things are acceptable when, you know, millennia have gone by where those things weren't acceptable. And so people will start to think certain things are acceptable, good, fine, because they don't have a moral compass anymore. Everything is questionable now. There's nothing which, and this is what happens with atheism. This is atheism. You know, when you don't believe in a God anymore, it's all about reason. It's all about what you think makes sense. And because your intellect is something limited, you're never going to be able to understand why certain things are good, why certain things are bad. And even those things which in the fitrah you know are good and you know are bad, you'll start to question even those, because there's no moral compass anymore. There's nothing for you to, you know, there's nothing guiding you, there's nothing navigating, there's no path, there's no light. It's just darkness upon darkness. So these people who disbelieved, they'll have that punishment awaiting for them. So the opposite of this is the one who was expecting the Day of Judgment. Here it's لا يرجون حسابا. They weren't expecting the Day of Judgment. The one who is expecting the Day of Judgment, because he knows it's going to take place, he's made the necessary preparation. He's prepared for the Day of Judgment. He's doing good deeds. He knows it's going to come. And so his mindset is different. His preparation is different. His goals should be different. You know, his ideas and his goals and his aims and his objectives in life are different. Because he's, you know, he's on a different path. You know, his goals are different. His mentality is something totally different to somebody who doesn't believe in the Akhirah. And so you have these two contrasting beliefs and these two contrasting paths. Allah says, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا. And on top of this, they denied our verses كِذَّابًا. A complete denial, you know, an emphatic denial. They were in denial of the verses, meaning the ayat of Allah. The word ayah in the Quran, and generally in the Arabic language, can mean two things. Ayah can literally mean a verse, but ayah also refers to a miracle. And in fact, every single ayah in the Quran is a miracle, because it's something which is from Allah, it's the speech of Allah, it can't be imitated. So here Allah is saying that they used to deny our verses, or they used to deny our ayat. And the ayat of Allah, the signs of Allah, the miracles of Allah are everywhere around us. And so for a person to deny all of those ayat, all of those signs, a complete rejection, a complete denial, is something which only an arrogant person would do. You know, for an arrogant person to completely deny everything around him. وَفِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ. Allah says, in your own selves, don't you reflect, don't you see? It's a sign. You know, when a person just looks at himself, how he was created, how he behaves, you know, how he computes, how his brain works, how his whole body works, the whole system. It's greater than any kind of computer anybody can put together. And so the body itself, everything around us, all the signs around us, all of these things point to a creator. You know? And so for a person to deny all of these things, it shows his arrogance. And on top of this, for him to deny Allah himself, this is an even greater arrogance. For a person to even question whether Allah exists is something which is arrogance. It's something which shows a person, you know, not reflecting and looking around at the signs. You know, and then you have people who talk about how if Allah was real, if there truly was a God, I would need to see a miracle. And then if you ask them, what kind of miracle would you see? What kind of miracle would you like for you to believe in Allah? They would say, I would like Allah to talk to me, to speak to me. I would like to see Allah. So this is the kind of sign that they want. Now the problem with this is, you ask them, let's say this happened. How would you know it was Allah? So even if it did happen, you will still question, wouldn't you? You would make things up. This is why Allah says in the Quran, you know, if we were to send down an angel with the book in broad daylight, people will still disbelieve. Because it's in the nature of man to reject these types of things. You know, when a person rejects everything around him, you know, shaitan will basically come up with something else for him to deny that it was God himself, that it was an angel, it was magic, I was seeing things, I was imagining things, and so on and so forth. So the whole concept, the whole idea just shows arrogance. Like, even the prophets of Allah never saw Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his complete entirety, in his complete form. And so for a, you know, a mere normal individual, an arrogant disbeliever, to want to see Allah in order to be guided, it's like as if he's expecting a favor from Allah. It's like as if, you know, he wants Allah to do something for him. It's like as if Allah is serving him, whereas he's supposed to be serving Allah. And so, you know, people who have this kind of mentality, okay, in fact, they'll never believe in Allah. Those who believe in Allah will believe in Allah. Those whomsoever Allah guides, Allah will guide. Whomsoever Allah misguides, nothing can guide them. فَلَا مُضِلَّ لَهُ. There's nothing. فَمَنْ يُضْلِلْ فَلَا هَادِيَ لَهُ. As Allah says, or as we say in the khutbah al-hajj, at the beginning of the khutbah, whomsoever Allah misguides, nothing can guide them. There's nothing which will cause them guidance, which will give them guidance, if Allah doesn't want it for them. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا كِذَّابًا, that they denied our verses with complete denial, complete rejection. وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ أَحْصَيْنَاهُ كِتَابًا. And all things we have recorded, we've accounted for, we've numbered in writing. We've written everything down. Everything has been recorded. Everything they did, everything they said. فَذُوقُوا فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا. So taste, and never will we increase you except in torment. Abdullah ibn Amr, one of the companions, he talked about this ayah, and he said that there's nothing which is showing more torment for the people of hellfire, and there's nothing which shows, you know, the scariest and the worst attribute of hellfire than this verse itself. This is the worst ayah describing the hellfire itself and the punishment of the hellfire. Because Allah says, فَذُوقُوا, so taste the punishment, so taste it, all of you, and فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ, and we will never increase you in anything except عذاب, except torment. Meaning, the longer you're there, the pain won't ease. There won't be a sense of relief. You know, this is in this dunya. A person goes through a trial, through hardship, and there's ease. But in the akhirah, in hellfire, there is no ease. In fact, it's the opposite. فَلَن نَزِيدَكُمْ, we're not going to increase you except in torment and punishment. So subhanAllah, that's why, you know, the scholars, they would say that this is, you know, the worst and the scariest ayah with regards to the hellfire. It's something which Abdullah ibn Amr, he said, Allah didn't reveal anything or any ayah against the people of the hellfire which was worse than this ayah itself. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ. Indeed, for those who have taqwa, for those who are righteous, they have victory. They have success, they are successful. So now Allah moves on to the believers, moves on to the righteous. And many times, in fact most times in the Quran, whenever Allah talks about one, He talks about the other. There's an element of targhib and tarhib, an element of a person fleeing, hoping for something and fleeing from something. You know, like the stick and the carrot. You know, you scare individuals, and also you give them incentive. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here, He gives us incentive now to perform good deeds. After He's warned us about the hellfire and rejecting the Day of Judgment, إِنَّ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ مَفَازَ. Verily for the righteous, they have success, they have victory. حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ. Allah now describes paradise for us. And He says, حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ, that this place is full of gardens. حَدَائِقَ وَأَعْنَابَ. أَعْنَابَ is a plural of عِنَب. عِنَب means grapes. أَعْنَابَ, grapevines, meaning, you know, lush, full, lots, numerous, you know, a number which can't be counted, and, you know, numerous number of grapes and fruits and gardens. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَكَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ. He says, كَوَاعِبَ أَتْرَابَ, and this is referring to حُورُ الْعِين. The word كَوَاعِب refers to full-breasted, أَتْرَابَ, which means equal-aged. So the حُورُ الْعِين, the virgin maids of paradise, they'll be full-breasted and they'll be of equal age, meaning they'll be virile and there'll be virgins and there'll be rewards for the believers on the Day of Judgment. وَكَأْسًا دِحَاقًا. Then Allah says, and a cup of dihaq. Ka's refers to a cup, and dihaq here is something which is continuously filled, meaning it's never ending. It's something which is continuous. It's always going to be full. A cup which is always full for a person to drink from. And, you know, when a person goes to a restaurant, one of those really posh restaurants, you know, they'll come and they'll fill the glasses up for you. And anytime it's, you know, half empty, they'll keep filling it. You know, they'll make sure it's never empty. So, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to how the believers will be served on the Day of Judgment with cups which are continuously filled. They're never ever empty. Ikrimah rahimahullah, he said that dihaq refers to something which is pure. It's something which is pure. Others, they said, continuously filled or completely filled to the brim. It never ever gets empty. It never ever goes down. It's something which is always full. You know, there's never a case where it's actually less than completely full. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَكَأْسًا دِهَاقًا لَا يَسْمَعُونَ فِيهَا لَغْوًا وَلَا كِذَّابًا, that there will be no ill speech in it, in paradise, and nor will he hear any type of falsehood. So it's a place where nobody will be speaking ill, nobody will be speaking badly, nobody will be lying, nobody will be hearing any type of, you know, evil talk. جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا, and Allah says, this is a reward from your Lord, عَطَاءً حِسَابًا, a generous gift made with measure. So each and every single individual who will be in paradise will be given a sufficient gift from Allah, a sufficient reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Kathir, he says that this ayah means that Allah is saying, we have mentioned to you what Allah will reward. Allah is basically telling us what He's going to reward us with, and they will be given by His favor and from Him. And it will be an act of kindness and mercy and a gift and a reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's going to be something sufficient and something suitable and something abundant, in abundance. جَزَاءً مِنْ رَبِّكَ عَطَاءً حِسَابًا. Hisab is something which is enough, abundant, enough for an individual. This is why even, you know, when we say حَسْبِيَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ, Allah is sufficient for me, Allah is enough for me. So whatever a person has in paradise is going to be something which is enough, something which is sufficient for him. He'll be satisfied. He'll never be dissatisfied with whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him. Then Allah Azza wa Jal says, رَبِّ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَ الرَّحْمَنِ لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا. Allah says, the Lord of the heavens and the earth, وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and whatever is between them, the Lord of everything in existence, وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا, and between them, الرَّحْمَن, He is the most merciful, لَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِنْهُ خِطَابًا, they don't possess from Him any authority of speech. Meaning nothing has the ability or the permission to speak except by His permission. No one can speak except if Allah gives them permission to speak. Then Allah says, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ صَفًّا, that on that day, the day of judgment, الروح, the ruh and the angels will stand in rows. Now what's the ruh referring to here? The spirit. What's the spirit? He says, يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ, the day the spirit will stand and the angels will stand. The angel Jibreel alayhi salam. One of the names of angel Jibreel is الروح. Okay? Allah says, تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالْرُوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ. In Surah Qadr, Allah also mentions the word ruh. So ruh here is referring to the angel Jibreel alayhi salam. Now the question is, why does Allah mention الروح, Jibreel, and then He mentions the angels as well? Why doesn't Allah just say the angels? Why does He mention the ruh, Jibreel, and the angels will stand in rows? Excellent. Because of His status. Because He's the greatest angel ever created by Allah. So He has this element of leadership. He's, you know, the leader of the angels. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions Him. يَوْمَ يَقُومُ الرُّوحُ, the day the angel, the greatest angel Jibreel alayhi salam, the spirit itself, will stand, and the angels, the rest of the angels, will stand صَفًّا in rows. They'll stand in rows, organized, disciplined, obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, preparing for that day. لَا يَتَكَلَّمُونَ, none of them will speak إِلَّا مَنْ أَذِنَ لَهُ الرَّحْمَنِ, except for the one whom the most merciful gives permission to speak. وَقَالَ صَوَابًا, and when they do speak, they'll only say whatever is correct. Sawab, they'll say whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is correct. They'll never disobey or disbelieve or lie to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الْحَقِّ, that is the true day. Allah uses the word haq, the truth. This is the day of truth. How is this the day of truth? Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, they're talking to you about a great day. عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ. It's a great day. and they're disagreeing and they differ about this day, whether it's going to take place. So now at the end of the surah he says, this is the day of truth, this day will surely come. Some of you disbelieved in the day of judgment, on this day you will realize, ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ حَقِّ, that is the day of truth. It's something which will no doubt take place, it's inevitable. And also it's called the truth because on that day things will be made apparent. Truth will become clear. And a person can only speak the truth, isn't it? So anything which a person says, anything which a person did, it will come to light. So it's the embodiment of haqq and truth. The truth for statements of Allah, the truth of the reality of that day, the truthfulness of the slave on that day, believer or disbeliever, and the truth of Allah's justice on that day by admitting those who committed sins into hellfire and those who committed and did good deeds into paradise. Then Allah subhanahu, and then he continues and he says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. The same ayah. He says, this is the day of truth. فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ مَآبًا. So whomsoever wishes, then he can take his Lord as a way of returning. Meaning he can return back to his Lord. So we mentioned before, لِلطَّاغِينَ مَآبًا. Those who transgress, they'll go back where? They'll go back to hellfire. Here Allah is saying, those who believe in the day of judgment, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ. Those who believe in the day of judgment, Allah says, فَمَنْ شَاءَ اتَّخَذَ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِ. Those who wish, they may take their Lord as the one they're going to return to. They'll take their Lord as the one that they will return to. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the other side of the coin. When a person believes in Allah, when a person believes in the day of judgment, he's going to prepare to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to return to a good reward from Allah azza wa jal. Then Allah says in the final ayah, إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَاهُ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. Allah says, إِنَّا أَنذَرْنَاكُمْ عَذَابًا قَرِيبًا. Verily we have warned you of a عذاب قريب, a punishment which is close. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us of a day which is going to come, and this day in and of itself is a day which is very close. And we know the famous hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallam, where he said the day of judgment is so close that it almost happened before I came. Meaning, signs of the day of judgment started as soon as the Messenger of Allah ﷺ passed away. In fact, his coming was a sign of the Day of Judgment. His coming as a messenger was a sign of the Day of Judgment. His death was another sign. And so many signs, you know, after his death, with regards to certain places being conquered and so on and so forth. The point being that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to us the importance of how this day is something which is close, it's something which for sure is going to happen. And it's something which is close. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَىٰ. That on this day, man will see what his hands have brought forth. Meaning man will see what he's done for himself on that day. What he's done, how is he prepared? What things has he done? He'll see everything. He'll reap the rewards of his actions which he's done in this dunya. يَوْمَ يَنْظُرُ الْمَرْءُ مَا قَدَّمَتْ يَدَهُ وَيَقُولُ الْكَافِرُ يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. And the disbeliever, the one who disbelieved, he will say, يَا لَيْتَنِي كُنْتُ تُرَابًا. He'll say, woe to me, if only I was dust. Because he'll regret being on that day, because he has nothing to prepare. His hands didn't, he didn't bring anything good. You know, he didn't bring anything good, he didn't bring anything beneficial, and he's going to feel like he's a loser on that day, and he is a loser. And so he'll regret being there. And so he'll wish that he was, you know, dust. He'll wish that he wasn't even there and wasn't even present. Just like when people regret things in this dunya. When you're in a situation which is embarrassing or in a bad situation, you want to close your eyes and pretend as if it's a dream and it's not happening. You don't want to be there anymore. But on that day, subhanAllah, there's no escape. You know, it's not a dream. It's actually real. It's taking place. Yawmul Haqq. It's the day of truth. It's for sure taking place, and each and every single individual will basically be held to account for all of his actions. And this concludes the tafsir of Surah An-Naba. And with that, we've basically finished the tafsir of Juz'i Amma. We started with Surah Nas a couple of years ago, and alhamdulillah, by the grace of Allah, you know, we thank Allah Azza wa Jal that He's given us the ability to be able to complete the whole of this Juz, the 30th chapter of the Quran. And inshallah, next week we'll have the last class, and we're going to go through life of one of the scholars of tafsir and one of the scholars of Islam by the name of Imam Az-Zuhri, a famous scholar of Islam. So we'll talk about him, and inshallah, after Ramadan, we don't know, I'm not sure exactly what's going to happen, whether there's going to be other classes taking place or whether we're going to be continuing with you know, some type of class, some kind of lesson. But inshallah, you know, everyone will be updated as and when things are confirmed. So, any questions before we conclude? Sorry? Why is Jibreel alayhi salam called Ruh? Allah Azza wa Jalla mentions his name a number of times in the Quran. As to why specifically the name Ruh, I'm not sure. I haven't researched it. Allah knows best. I don't know why specifically. I think generally those who be in hellfire, there's no ease. There's no ease in hellfire because it's the source of punishment. I mean, those who enter into hellfire and then leave, the torment and punishment of hellfire is still the same. I mean, of course, there's varying degrees of punishments in hellfire as well, as we know. There's different levels of hellfire. Okay, but once a person is in hellfire, you know, ultimately Allah decides who is going to have an easy punishment, who is going to have a severe torment. But the general understanding is that a person who is in hellfire, based on this ayah, فَلَنْ نَزِيدَكُمْ إِلَّا عَذَابًا, we won't increase them except in torment and punishment. But once the horn is blown and everything ceases to exist, Allah will cause the angel to be created again, and He'll blow the horn a second time and everything will exist again. And once everything exists again, there is no life and death for human beings. So those who are in hellfire, they'll be in hellfire. Those who are in paradise, they'll be in paradise. As for the angels, they never die anyway. The angels will continue to exist because angels don't die, aslan. Okay, jazakumullah khair. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.